Hey there, today I am joined by Shadow Marvel to discuss one of my earlier favorite affiliations. I guess it's not really early, it was a year to the game, yada yada yada, but they were a lot of fun to play, and that is the A-Force. My name is Nate, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right, so it's just the two of us because I think really out of the people that we usually have in rotation, like I think we were the kind of just the ones that actually have played A-Force a pretty significant amount.
Yeah, I played a lot of A-Force, especially when I started playing this game. I came into the game basically a month before She-Hulk dropped, and I really wanted to play Avengers because Avengers is what I like. Everyone knows I love Avengers. But Avengers, Steve Avengers especially, was not that great. And I needed to find out what would be my competitive roster. And I like She-Hulk as a character, and I liked the roster when I was seeing it come out. And I put, and I basically played two seasons on the TTS League with A-Force.
Awesome. The last TTS League I participated in, I took A-Force to Top Cut. So We have experienced A-Force players here to talk about the affiliation. And I guess, as always, we're just going to kind of start out talking a little bit about the leader and the boxes we would recommend picking up if this is your first dive into this affiliation. And the leader herself is pretty formidable, in my opinion. I think she is a little bit under the radar. Because her cousin got a buff and is now quite the beater himself.
I think we should also remember, I mean, it's hard to remember this when now that we've seen the Hulk's buff, but when she came out, when she was spoiled, everyone was like, this is essentially Hulk fixed. Mm-hmm. This is what Hulk should have been. This is how you make an actual Hulk. Everyone was terrified of She-Hulk because they wanted to play with this card, but with Hulk's model because they loved this character so much.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think she still holds up exceptionally well. If that's one of her titles, Exceptional She-Hulk, probably not.
It is now.
It is now. She's got 20 threats. She moves medium on a 50 millimeter base, so she's actually decently mobile. Defenses are 3-4-3, so decent, not like fantastic or anything like that, but decent. What is really nice, though, is her builder automatically applies slow and is just 7 dice straight up.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
That the chances of spiking are really nice. Chances of just getting 4 damage out of it pretty consistently is also pretty good.
I mean, again, it was one of those things that when we saw it, people were like, this is one of the best builders in the game. It's a 7 dice attack that gains her power, which is something that Hulk didn't used to do, mm-hmm. and automatically applies slow.
Yep. Which is important because her spender cost 5, 9 dice, but range 3, so gives her a little bit more range. If the attack dealt damage, and 9 dice, man, you really hope you dealt some damage. If the target character already has the slow condition, they gain stagger in addition to stun.
Yeah, the spender is the one that I kind of was a little down on. I've played a lot of her, and I don't use the defense rest at that much. I feel like even if it was just 4 costs, I'm pretty sure that they made it 5 costs for balance purposes, because having played this, the math of getting combining her superpowers with the defense rests and trying to make sure you get the slow on there really makes it difficult to try to combo her into just completely annihilating somebody with conditions and such. And I'm pretty sure if they made it 4 cost, that it would have been too easy.
Yeah, and for 9 dice and some really nasty effects on it, I too wish it was 4 because of the same thing where it's kind of like, man, you want to make sure you have enough power for a superior weight training. You want to try to make sure you always have that throw access, not to mention having a couple power left over to have bodyguard online.
I mean, that's the thing. It's 8 power to do superior weight training and the defense rests, which doesn't net you any power. So you, if even if you are at full power when you do this, you don't have enough power to do the throw.
Yeah. But things all in all, really solid about her. She gets 2 power automatically. She has the same little thing with as Hulk. You got 20 health. You don't get an injured side.
Right.
You can still be gunned down. She is not super easily gunned down, especially because she has some help in affiliation that as long as you're pairing her with the right people that we'll talk about here very soon. But the one thing before we leave She-Hulk that we absolutely have to talk about is her very own personal band card. Special delivery. It is a Force affiliated, thank goodness. And it is a reactive one. So when an A-Force character with flight begins a move action within range 2 of She-Hulk, during its activation, they may each spend 1 power to play the card and before you move the miniature. When the active character ends this move, place She-Hulk within range 1 of it. She-Hulk may immediately perform one of her attacks that has a listed cost of 0.
So, sensational uppercut.
Sensational uppercut, but if you happen to have, maybe you're playing like Separation Anxiety and one of your symbiotes gives you a special attack that has a cost of 0, or if you're playing Montesi Formula, She-Hulk gets a free beam attack.
Yeah, yeah. I think this card essentially defines She-Hulk. She is a 6 threat character. She's your leader, so you're taking her. She, unlike many other 6 threat characters, she has no way to maneuver herself onto the board without taking a move action outside of this card. It's the same thing with even Magneto, where he needs that Asteroid M to get him on the board so he can start doing what he needs to do. She needs this, but it not only does that help her get into the fight to get that action efficiency, but it synergizes with her legal defense ability, because since you're placed within 1, she's already in a place where she can bodyguard the person who she's next to. So it's a lot of synergy that this card brings to her to allow her to function as a character on the board.
Yeah, and it's a card, in my opinion, unless there are just extra circumstances going on, that you usually want to try to play turn 1 so that she gets a total of 3 attacks off right from the get-go. She's in the mix, and once she's kind of in the mix, she's able to stay in the mix pretty well because she has aggressive. Whenever she is dealt damage, she may advance short toward the attacking character.
Right. That aggressive is something that really catches a lot of people off guard and can really put her into where you want her to be.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that is the leader and the leadership that goes with it, I guess, worth mentioning. Defenders of Arcadia. When an allied character is damaged by an enemy effect, another allied character may gain 1 power. A character cannot gain more than 1 power from this leadership ability per turn.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's also, and we'll get into this later in the podcast, but this, in my opinion, makes some other characters actually function where I feel they don't function as well in other affiliations. But the ability to feed power into characters who need power really makes those characters shine a lot more. The question that always happens that you have to think about is whether or not the characters you're bringing really factor into whatever game plan you're doing with A-Force, which can be somewhat limited, and make sure that you're doing that properly instead of just putting them in there because how awesome would it be if they had a bunch of power, because you might have that awesome thing, but it also might not synergize with the rest of your team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it works really well when your opponent is like maybe throwing one character into another character, because then like, sure, unfortunately, 2 of your characters are taking damage. But on the bright side, they both get that trigger. They both get to hand out a power. So it can work out really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest complaint that people had about this leadership was the fact that you couldn't control it, and it was based solely on your opponent doing something to you in order to get the benefit from it. And this is before Sam Wilson came out, and we all see how powerful Sam Wilson's is, and you don't even need to daze or KO someone, you just need to damage them. And that's kind of what people do in this game. You know, people attack.
The majority of the game right now, there's definitely control elements to the game. There always will be. But a majority of the game plans out there deal with attacking your opponent, dealing them damage. So She-Hulk jives very well with really just like the idea of how the game is played. So now we talk about probably the hardest part about A-Force, in my opinion. And that's what packs to pick up.
Yeah. Well, here's the nice thing. I mentioned this to you before off the pod, but one thing that's really nice about A-Force, if you're just getting into the game, is that the only pack you need to pick up is She-Hulk. Because if you just want to play the affiliation and you want to start somewhere, you get She-Hulk, you get Captain Marvel from the core set, you have Black Widow from the core set. Those are three characters. You're probably not going wider than five in with A-Force with a six threat leader. So you can just plug in whoever else is in the core set into your A-Force and you have a squad.
Yeah, you might want just one more in there.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
and that's why we have these suggestions. I'm going to let you start because I believe you have the only box that has two A-Force members in it.
Right, and it actually goes into what I was just talking about making characters function. The box I chose was Shuri and Okoye. The reason that I mentioned it is that since the changes have happened, I've been really down on Okoye. If you listen to the Wakanda episode we had before, I was super down on Okoye to the point that I almost felt it was, you didn't necessarily need to bring her. You could bring in Black Panther, Winter Soldier, and Shuri, and that would be a better core than having Okoye on your team. But in A-Force, she's exceptional because you can feed her that power. Her biggest problem that she lost was losing that power gen, so she can't bodyguard. And she can't bodyguard, why is she on the board? But with A-Force, somebody gets hit, she's getting power. You feed her power, she can bodyguard. And that's important because you tagging her along with She-Hulk is what you need. You want She-Hulk to take some damage so she can aggressive, but you want to kind of manage that damage because she's got 20 health, but that can go down. So if you manage that damage with Okoye so she takes a little bit of the heat, then you're in a much better spot, and A-Force makes that work. Also, just as a little bit of a funsy type of thing for a casual night, you know, toss some rocket boots on her and then just, you know, have her play rocket boots and then have her special delivery She-Hulk right up the board. And that's a pretty fun way. I'm not saying it's the best thing to do, but it sure is fun. So that's Okoye. And then her box mate is Shuri, who's also A-Force affiliated. And Shuri handles kind of the other side that helps make She-Hulk and the rest of the team work, which is that she provides control, which not a lot of the team has that kind of control that Shuri can bring. And her being able to just shoot two people off to allow that you can control the board is very helpful, but also allowing She-Hulk to not only have that seven dice builder we talked about, but have seven dice builder with rerolls. It's very, very nice. So that kind of help is what she really brings to the team. And it also provides a backline shooter. Again, something that we don't really have a lot of in A-Force. So having that range 5 backline shooter that can control the board and give She-Hulk those rerolls, as well as any other characters you have as well, because there's a lot of good fighters, that makes both of these excellent contributions to your team. I would almost say that I would auto include them in my 10 roster. even mm-hmm. after I have a whole bunch of characters.
Yeah, they're both really good. Okoye is that kind of missing link that She-Hulk wants by her side. Give her a bodyguard that's an affiliation, no less, to make sure that she can't just get absolutely burst down, which is really good. And then there's times where it's like, hey, like there's a bigger attack coming. Maybe She-Hulk bodyguards for Okoye where like the chip damage is coming in. And then it's like, oh, well, Okoye is still there for whenever you try to use your spender or something like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of resource management when it comes to this game in general, and mm-hmm. health is a resource. And with She-Hulk, as well as her cousin, that resource is very important because they don't have that flip side, because they don't have that mechanic where you get dazed and then the heat is off of you for a bit. And she doesn't get any benefits from having more damage on her like Hulk does. So you really want to be able to keep her around as long as possible in your game.
Yeah. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to my box. And that box is Angela and Enchantress. So unfortunately, only Angela is affiliated. I can go on a rant about Enchantress and why she needs to be affiliated. She's in the comics. The synergies are there. Yada, yada, yada.
We can go on a rant about Angela. That for a lot of characters.
We have. We will continue to do so.
I would like a written letter about why at least six characters are not in A-Force affiliation right now.
By God, dadgummit, Wills. I'm looking at both of you. So Angela really is just a fantastic character on her own. Mm-hmm. If you're going up against a lot of smaller health characters, she's really good at just kind of carving through multiple enemies. She's got the additional attack when she dazes somebody and you get the place off of that other attack. So she's really just able to daisy chain her way as a murder bot, and is extremely mobile. So mobile, as a matter of fact, that as far as just like a standard move, she is tied for just the longest standard move in the game, because she's on a 50 millimeter base and has that beautiful, beautiful long move. And one of the main reasons that you're okay taking a 5 threat along with She-Hulk's 6 threat is because she's got flight. Mm-hmm. So being able to literally take She-Hulk to past the middle of the board, and She-Hulk hasn't even activated on turn one, yes, please, is really all I can say to that.
I mean, here's an example. I was playing a game like a year ago or something like that, and somebody had grabbed a single extract, and they ran to like basically the corner of the board, and my She-Hulk and was in the middle of the board. So basically, I had no way of getting to this person. So I just had Angela run up to She-Hulk within range two, then did the special delivery to carry both of them all the way to the corner of the board, drop them there, throw a 7 dice attack into this person who had the extract, and then grab the size 4 that happened to be there, because size 4s tend to be in the corner of the maps, and then launch that at the person, daze them, Angela picks up the extract. All possible because of that special delivery combination.
Nice. Feels good.
Feels real good.
So yeah, Angela, really good as just a character that's in affiliation, gives you another flying option other than Captain Marvel. There are other flying A-Force members, or if you happen to pick up Star-Lord's pack and have rocket boots, anybody can do it. But Angela is still one of the best at it, especially because she's one of the few that can move and make an attack herself after She-Hulk's attack. So it can get very dangerous for your opponent.
And also, if you're looking into some of these like more higher level plays, Angela is crucial in making hammers a very, very deadly crisis for A-Force. Just being able to threaten both hammers with a special delivery, with Angela being able to run up and throw large terrain at people who grab the center hammer. Center extracts in general become really nervous for anyone when Angela's on the board, because she, from the center, can reach either side with one move and then having dropping She-Hulk right in their faces. So she doesn't matter which side you go to, She-Hulk can be there with Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Only Angela can do that.
The other half of this box is Enchantress. And Enchantress is a really good character. She is one of the characters that got hit in the 1.5 update because she was too good. But really, in my opinion, they only really hit her ability to move enemy characters around willy-nilly. She can now only advance enemy characters once per turn. She did also lose the ability to steal as just a superpower. It's now a superpower that costs an action, which probably needed to happen. Probably might definitely still need to happen with Black Cat. Black Cat doesn't need it as much to balance her out, but Enchantress, who just generates so much power freely because she's got a beam attack that gains her power and has sap power, and she's Asgardian, so she gains two power a turn anyway.
And she has a throw.
And Enchantress is just good. It needed to balance out. The other reason I really like Enchantress in A-Force, though, is there's a really cute synergy. Enchantress, when she is being attacked, your opponent has to choose whether or not to spend two power to lower her defense value, because otherwise they would have to attack into her Mystic, where she has a physical and energy defense of two. So you're kind of like, man, I'd really rather attack that. So the timing there, though, is your opponent has to declare that, and then if they decide to spend the two power, the defender gets a chance to respond, and you can be like, cool, Okoye or She-Hulk is going to bodyguard that. So right. It basically forces your opponent to waste power for you to bodyguard. Otherwise, they're rolling into a five defense Enchantress, which is rather handy for her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Enchantress, personally. But she comes in the box, which is important. And it is very nice that both of the characters in this box don't really need to be fed power. And I know that sounds weird for putting them into an affiliation that doesn't need the leadership as well, but you have a lot of characters who you will want to have in your leader, in your squad, who will want to just funnel that power in over and over again every turn. And having characters where you just, okay, they don't need the power, they don't need the assistance, allows those choices to be a lot easier, saying, okay, I'm putting my power into Captain Marvel. I don't need to put it into Enchantress because she generates two per turn, and everything she kind of wants to do, she can do with two power, and she easily gains power with her beam. So she tops herself off without any help from the leadership.
Yeah. And kind of on that note of other characters and stuff, I do want to mention real quick, this is a really awkward affiliation to just try to go out and build only this affiliation, because their members are kind of scattered throughout a different six affiliations or so.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit unfortunate. But at the same time, if you're collecting all these other things anyway, it's just kind of like, oh, if I buy She-Hulk, I've already got the two out of the core set. And like, hey, if you have X-Men, you probably already have Storm and Domino. Or, hey, if you have Avengers, you might already have Wasp, Scarlet Witch. And it just kind of goes on and on. Like, oh, you're playing Inhumans? Like, that means you've already got two of my favorite A-Force members with Crystal and Medusa. And the list keeps going. So there's a little bit of awkwardness there. But at the same time, it also makes it a very... oopsie, I have this other affiliation all of a sudden just by adding She-Hulk to what I already have.
I mean, A-Force, just like you're saying, like I said before, A-Force is easy to buy into because you only need the one box in order to technically play A-Force. But like you're saying, they're scattered throughout this game, and they're really an affiliation you can grow with as you are growing with the game itself, because you're not going to be disappointed by almost all of the characters on this affiliation list. There, it's just a list, a laundry list of some of the best characters. You got Black Cat, you have Domino, you have Medusa, you have Scarlet Witch, Valkyrie, who also benefits significantly from this leadership.
Yeah, that's one of those characters you want to feed power into, because Valkyrie, no matter what, not always sure how, but she can spend 10 power every single turn she's on the board.
Every time. She knows how to use power, so she wants it. All these characters are amazing. This entire affiliation is stacked.
Yeah. So with that said, let's talk about some of the out-of-affiliation pickups that we are going to recommend.
All right, I want you to go first this time.
All right, I'm happy to go first. I have said the Hood, and I might be a little bit biased at this point. I'm really starting to like Hood as a character, but he synergizes really well, specifically with She-Hulk. And when you have a six-threat leader, you want to make sure you're having pieces that play well around that leader, in my opinion. And so, for one thing, he brings in low threat mystic attack that's actually pretty consistent with the rapid fire and stuff. So that's always nice. Not very many affiliations have that naturally, so him bringing that is great. What is far more important to me is the fact that he has the ability to heal. And She-Hulk, having no injured side to return to in a character who will pretty easily always have 3 damage to try to take off of her, Hood is fantastic for that job, especially because you can feed him power to make sure that's going to be online. The other really cool synergy is if he gets banged up a little bit, he transforms into Angry Hood or Possessed Hood. And sure, you can feed him power then for his charge or Dark Empowered Lightning, which is a fantastic attack all its own. But the other thing that he has on that side is he reduces all damage by 2 to a minimum of 1. So if your opponent's doing 3 damage, he takes 1, so on, so on. And why that's really cool in A-Force particular, it makes it so that when your opponent is dealing damage, it becomes closer and closer to chip damage and gives you more and more opportunities to trigger the leadership and just takes you to Value Town, which is one of my favorite things to try to do in this game.
I think Hood is inspired. Aside from the fact that Hood is a male and I don't play any males in my A-Force leadership. I mean, Quoth. But, you know, I think it's inspired because of that heal. The heal is probably one of the things I think is the most valuable. When I was running A-Force, I ran it as my restricted cards being Med Pack and Patch Up. Mm-hmm. Because all I was thinking was like, what's better than 20 health She-Hulk? Well, 28 health She-Hulk. I'm always going to have the power to play all I need for Patch Up, and I can't let this character die. So being able to just have Hood go up there, heal her, she'll get the bleed, but that's fine. She's just going to have the bleed for the rest of her game. You're never going to shake that thing.
Yeah. And that's okay. And I guess since we don't have a third person, you know what? No, I'll save a second to throw out recommendation that shouldn't have been out of affiliation, but is. Talk about yours.
I can go down a list of that if we're going to start talking about that. But all right, so for me, I'm going with a little bit of a spicy pick. A pick that people probably don't really lean towards, especially because there's already a 5-threat mystic in affiliation option. And I'm going to go with Jean Grey.
That's a skeptical noise for me.
So here's the thought process with Jean Grey. So one of the biggest problems I've had with She-Hulk when I played, and it has lost me, when I lose games, this is usually the reason why I lose games, is she's got that aggressive, which is great, so that when Thor hits her and then throws her, she can just aggressive back, and, you know, Panther hits her and aggressives back. But you know what is really bad? When she gets controlled in ways that don't involve attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It is backbreaking. She has, like we said before, she has no movement shenanigans to be able to get her back into a fight outside of aggressive. So if someone goes up to her, if an enchantress just rolls up to her and just says, spends her two power and says, take a walk, nothing you can do about it. She just takes a walk, and her attacks are ranged too. So that means she's spending an action, moving back into the fight. Somebody throws her. She's only size 3, so she can be thrown by a lot of characters out nowadays. She just gets thrown. But Jean Grey brings two things to the table that help with that. First, she does the shield mind, which prevents people from being able to just walk up to her and advance her, place her, or push her. And that's very valuable. And the other thing is that if she does get knocked off out of place and she's been activated, the matter transmutation, which allows her to basically push a character back, is also an exceptional ability to keep your 6th threat in the fight. And I personally think that just having the ability to just have a character who makes sure that your 6th threat leader is where she needs to be when she needs to be there is almost invaluable. The other nice thing about it is the leadership is great, because another thing people have problems with Jean Grey is that she can sometimes want more power to be able to pay for all of these things, and the leadership gives her more power. And the other thing people say is a problem with her is that she can go down pretty quickly because her defenses aren't really there. But you know who's in A-Force? Two bodyguards. Two bodyguards who can protect Jean Grey. So Jean Grey can take as much damage as she needs, or you protect her, and she just keeps She-Hulk in the fight.
Yeah, no, and I see the reasoning. It's really tough, though, for a 5-threat out of affiliation when she's already 6. But the synergies are definitely there. I can see her being brought in at some of those higher threat totals.
And she's female.
And she's female, which brings me to our third, because we've talked about it. You agree. Rogue is another fantastic member who, in the comics, totally affiliated, or should have been affiliated, because she's in she's one of the core members of the A-Force team.
If she was affiliated, she would be busted.
Yeah, charge plus drop off. Oh, I want it, but I understand why it's not allowed. Again, she's got the damage reduction. She's got plenty of ways to spend her power, with like the power absorbing ability thing. Her spender's great. She's got a good throw on her. Rogue would just make an excellent addition to your team if you're looking for somebody else to splash in there. And then she's got the damage reduction, so she's hopefully taking more hits than typical to trigger that leadership just a little bit more.
Yeah. Rogue is, as far as I'm concerned, she's A-Force, even if she doesn't get the ability to drop somebody off.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so let's talk a little bit about playstyle and what we suggest for the affiliation, and I'll let you start this one off because yours is a lot more broad and probably better suited for conversation than mine.
Well, so A-Force is a very tricky affiliation to play, and that I think that's kind of the reason why we see it not as successful, is because 6-threat leaders are very hard to play. You need to play them just right, and if you make a mistake with them, That could be the ball game for you, and as I said just before, you know why I wanted Jean Grey in there is because if somebody messes with you or you make a mistake or somebody controls your leader, that can sometimes be almost half of your squad just being completely ineffective. And so when I play A-Force, and I'm not necessarily just with Jean Grey in the mix, but it's always about trying to find a way to keep She-Hulk in the mix, keeping her pressure, having her be a threat. I played a guy, I think his name was I think his name was Exalted Tilapia, and he whooped my butt because he played an excellent game with Captain Marvel and She-Hulk, just making it so that She-Hulk wasn't the person who had the extracts, but she was the one who was just around all the time. So I could spend my actions trying to minimize what She-Hulk was doing, but then I'm not playing the scenario. And even still, he was just rolling hot fire into me and just, you know, using her superior weight chaining and just one-shotting people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's kind of the issue. That's kind of the issue. And I was being forced to just throw her away so she only thing she can do is move. And then subsequently one-shot one of my characters. But that's the thing. Keeping her in the mix, making sure that she can be in a place that she can bodyguard when you're going after someone who has your objective, making sure Shuri's around so that when she does get her attacks, they're very potent. And even if bringing in some out of affiliation options like Jean Grey, if you have the luxury to get her back into the mix, you can also do this with other characters like Clea, who technically is an A-Force member in the comics, and the special delivery. The special delivery. Sometimes I don't play special delivery the first round, so that I have it available to me when I inevitably know that this affiliation is going to hard control my leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's a really smart thing, because when you have a six threat leader, it's the equivalent of 2-3 threat models, and when those 2-3 threat models, for your affiliation, are characters like Domino and Valkyrie that can just apply so much aggression, you want to make sure that She-Hulk's able to stay in the fight herself, because it feels real bad if your sixth threat is just twiddling thumbs on the sideline or just having to spend actions to get back into the middle of it.
And sometimes, you know, a thing that I could do is mission objective. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is the complete flip. Sometimes you look at a scenario and you think to yourself, they're just going to ignore She-Hulk, or they'll just throw her away and she's not going to affect the game. But if you have a card like Mission Objective and then you toss something valuable onto her, then suddenly she's very valuable and they can't ignore her. They can't just throw her away. They need to keep her in the fight. And then you manage her health with something like, you know, an Okoye, and you're able to then keep She-Hulk in the fight that they're forcing on. They're forcing to her as the centerpiece. And mm-hmm. maybe they take her down. Maybe they take her down. But maybe it's long enough that you've already won the game.
Yeah. So on my side of it, I've just got kind of an idea of objectives you should be looking for in my minion. I've really just got, for my bit here, just some objectives that I recommend playing on, or at least the style of objective you want. And those are going to be the objectives that are kind of closer together, so that She-Hulk is less likely to be twiddling her thumbs if she ends up on one side of the board and everybody else over there is just like dead because she killed them, or if they've tried to run away, she can still be a relevant piece easily. So none of the B maps or D maps really fit for her, in my opinion. So I would recommend Gamma, because the high point values keep models in the center of the board, and that's where she just gets to go absolutely crazy and start beating up on people, throwing people, and also is able to have other characters around her to body block your opponent's movement effects and push effects sometimes,
yeah,
which can be handy for her. So Gamma, Demons Downtown, Intrusions, maybe even something like Deadly Meteors, because you have a lot of in-affiliation A-Force characters that bring high energy defense. So they probably like Deadly Meteors a little bit as well.
They actually love Deadly Meteors. I played, there was one TTS league where I think every game I played was on Deadly Meteors. And it is surprising how much this team, even when they fall behind in the beginning, can really come back and just dominate that secure.
Mm-hmm. So good things there. I like it. It works well. So those are the secures that I'd kind of recommend. They're ones that, again, keep it close together and also force your opponent on, because the point swings are a little bit bigger that way.
Yeah, I think that also kind of keys into one of the biggest frustrations when playing A-Force, which is that since you have She-Hulk and she's your leader and she's sixth threat and she's not very good on those B's and D's, mm-hmm. is that there are a lot of D's out there, and B's are also particularly popular in this meta, and it can be very difficult. I mean, if you end up on a D, it can be very, very difficult for you to handle that situation. And in some cases, you might even at that point want to say, all right, we're going to go leaderless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and A-Force can totally be played leaderless. It's basically what somebody, granted this was a while back, but at NashCon last year, Mike basically was playing leaderless A-Force for a majority of his games and doing pretty well with it. He made it to the top cut and then a little bit more.
I mean, back then it was called Tierless the Affiliation.
Yeah, A-Force is certainly that, and still is to a degree. A lot of those top-tier pieces did get knocked down a little bit, but they've still got plenty of punch to them.
Yeah, on a B map especially, using Stalwart Determination, which prevents you from being thrown or pushed,
mm-hmm.
can be very valuable when you're going leaderless. Just, you know, you don't have the leader, but you have access to that card, because then you can end up in a situation where you're just essentially, your characters are just locked into their spots, and they're holding onto the points, and they're saying, come at me, because these are mine now.
Yep. So that's kind of a general game plan. Extracts, it probably doesn't matter quite as much, because there's nothing that they're particularly geared toward. If you go with that mission objective play, you could try to go for some of those single extracts to throw them onto She-Hulk, who then has Okoye as a bodyguard backup and stuff like that. But I feel like they don't have any that they particularly hate outside of Senators, just because 14 threat is not one that you want to bring to the table.
No, I tried Senators, didn't work. I would say that Hammers is very good for A-Force. They have a lot of really good plays with Hammers.
Yeah, everybody's got plays with Hammers, though.
But I don't mean that. Most Hammer plays are, how do I get Hammers and I go 3-1? Their story isn't, how do I go 3-1? It's, how do I present you with difficult options? Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying before, like with Angela and She-Hulk, and it's Hammers being a high threat crisis, Angela and She-Hulk very easily can be in a situation where whichever Hammer you choose, She-Hulk's gonna beat it. That person's going to take 3-7 dice attacks. It doesn't matter what you do. That person's taking 3-7 dice attacks. Yeah. And you could also, on the other side of the token, you can threaten having She-Hulk and Crystal on one side do, and then Angela on the other side, so that you don't have all your threat in one place. And then Angela, if they go after Angela's side, then Angela rolls up there, throws some size 3 or size 4 at them, and then hits them with a 6 die attack. And if they go off the other side, then Crystal drops off and we go to that whole 3-7 die attacks into somebody routine.
Mm-hmm.
So Hammers, they have a lot of good Hammer plays in terms of central objectives in general, just putting in that reactive, how am I going to punish them? Will they put somebody in front of me so I can punch?
Yeah, no, I mean, and really just Hammers is probably the most well-rounded and well-loved objective. And because there aren't too many tactic cards that are A-Force affiliated, they don't mind having Hammers on them in the same way that teams like maybe Avengers or Wakanda can sometimes, a Hammer can hamstring a character that is needing to play a tactic card at a pivotal time.
We could definitely ham it up with some hammer plays.
Oh boy. All right, and with all this talk about ham, I'm going to make the terrible transition and talk about our sponsors who make the podcast possible and stuff. Nice. First, we have Tritex over in the UK. Been supporting the Guild for quite a long time now and have been very generous with their support. If you're over in the UK or the EU, use the code TRITEXGGCP5 at checkout for an extra 5% off. And then if you're doing a pre-order, that'll actually get you a total of 25% off of the retail price, which is very nice. And then if you are in the U.S., here in Tennessee, we've got War Room Hobbies. If you use the code MCP2022, it'll save you a 10% off of your order. And that's not just limited to the MCP stuff. So if you're into Legion or 40K or any of the other stuff they have on their website, it still gets you an extra 10% off and still helps support the show as well.
I have to pick up Nick Fury. I think I'm going to put in a call to them.
Do it. Mr. Fury and some S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, where She-Hulk is affiliated. We're not talking about She-Hulk, we're talking about the affiliation, so it's kind of relevant.
Yeah, it's relevant.
Yep. But we do have some listener questions. All right. First off, from Ghost Bear, who would you like to see as an alternate leader?
That is a hard one to choose.
Yeah, I think you could easily put in a character that is like already in the game. So like make a new Captain Marvel, and that could be it. There's a bunch of those options already there. I think if we were to take somebody that isn't already in the game and seems like they could very reasonably be added into the game, is Jessica Drew Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best bet.
Because, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. just came out. She's totally going to be S.H.I.E.L.D. affiliated whenever she does come out. So that feels like a very possible one that makes sense to me. Any other standouts to you?
That's really all I can think of. The problem with it, aside from the fact that She-Hulk has been the only official leader, but the only other person who really has that feel would be Captain Marvel. And if they're going to release another Captain Marvel, she'll probably be something like sixth threat. And that doesn't really solve the problem of pivoting to a lower threat. And I think that Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, could be fourth threat. She could be three threat, even, depending on what they want to do with her. So, there's also talk to, you could potentially say Emma Frost, but probably not. And also, again, she'd probably be a high threat.
Yeah, she'd probably at least be up there with Jean Grey at five, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I think Jessica Drew is the choice.
Okay. Sooner, our good friend, comes in with such great tactic cards, good leadership, and great roster. What do you really think holds A-Force back? Ooh, that's a good question.
A very good question.
In my opinion, I think A-Force is underrated. I think, especially with all you've got being banned now, which was one of She-Hulk's main concerns, I think the leadership is pretty good across the board. They have great control elements with characters like Shuri and Medusa. She-Hulk has her own throw. I think they can play a very strong attrition game because, I mean, She-Hulk's coming in with 7 die builders, not to mention characters like Domino, again, Medusa. I think what's holding them back is they are not a shiny affiliation, and I think that because they haven't been getting any new releases, oddly.
Suspiciously so.
Yeah, like, sure, Rogue, you don't want to add in Rogue. She's like a mainstay of the comic line, but giving a flying character with charge access to drop-off again is one of the reasons they probably banned drop-off in the first place. So, like, that's understandable, but, like, where is Magic? Where is X-23?
Miss Marvel.
Plenty of characters that I feel like definitely, like, in the comic run are part of the team, but are not being additions. So I think what's part of what's holding them back is there's no new shinies to draw people towards them to play them. I think the affiliation is actually probably in a really good spot as a whole.
I think I kind of alluded to this earlier in the episode. I do think that that's a lot of it. There's not really anybody who's making themselves be an A-Force champion out there. So that, I mean, I've seen some good players. I've seen you play A-Force and during the All You Got meta and have success. And really good players play things really well. And seeing how they innovate and play and their emergent strategies aren't being seen as much because, like you said, they're not new. And like I said before, six threat is hard to play. Brotherhood is recently amazing now, but before Juggernaut was released and Rogue, they were a middling affiliation. And so that's really probably all A-Force needs at this point is some kind of really over the top, possibly bordering on the line of busted, ridiculous release. And you give them one of that, everyone will get excited about A-Force again, and you'll see success.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at it, one of the teams that's doing really well in the current TTS season has been Brotherhood. Brotherhood just got the new shiny. Sure, they had seen great success at TTS before the new shinies, but the new shinies turned out in force, and so I think there's definitely a large part of that that applies to what draws players that are just very good at the game. I don't consider myself among them personally, but I think sometimes what can be holding back an affiliation is just some of the people who choose to play it, or it's maybe been a little bit since people have seen it. And really, like, I kind of don't blame them. A-Force was one of those affiliations that got only hit with nerfs in the 1.5.
Yeah.
Valkyrie got hit. Medusa got hit. Enchantress, who was an easy bring into the affiliation, got hit.
But you know what? Not to spoil some what we're doing in behind the scenes, but you'll notice it from, I think, the last episode. Sooner has been playing a lot of defenders, and everyone wrote defenders off after they got hit by basically nothing but nerfs and lost their pentagrams and lost that flexibility on the gem. They got Hulk, but they lost the buff. They lost the flexibility on the gem, on Strange. They lost a lot of stuff, and then everyone just stopped playing them. But Sooner's been playing them. And let me tell you, I've been watching some of these games Sooner's been playing, and he is ripping it. He's doing a great job with them. And Kenny is also getting in onto it, and although probably Kenny inspired Sooner, let's be honest. But, he's doing well, too. They're putting together. They're starting to innovate. They're getting those emergent strategies. They're figuring out how to make this affiliation work. It's not that it's a bad affiliation. It's just somebody's not taking it and running with it. Yep. That's the same thing with A-Force.
All right, next up from our good friend over at the House Party Protocol podcast, Will says, who are some characters that are undervalued in the broader MCP landscape that can shine in A-Force? That's a really kind of tough question because basically anybody who just needs a little bit more power to really pop off is eligible for that. Personal candidates, Captain Marvel, earlier binary and consistent binary is great, especially because it now costs less power. Let's see, Black Cat, similar stuff. The Black Cat sees plenty of play.
Black Cat sees a lot of play.
Okoye. I think Magic. Okoye is now one that kind of needs it. Magic is one who can use all the power that you could feed into her and is a really nice aggressive piece. I think there's
I'll give you a spicy one.
You already gave me a spicy one. You gave me Jean Grey.
Jean Grey was the okay. Try it first. But I'll give you a spicy one here. Mr. Sinister.
All right. I don't hate it.
He gives you that control. He brings a mystic beam option. And his biggest problem is his power, generation is kind of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a place that he could shine. Also, Elektra, who is A-Force in the comics. Elektra also can benefit from both having a bunch of bodyguards, as well as being fed a bunch of power so she can pop off a big spender. And she brings grunts.
Not sold on. Well, grunts do trigger her leadership, so that could be cute.
I sure do.
All right. I'm not entirely sold, but I kind of like...
I'm not
like
entirely sold either, but it's worth trying.
Brad A., who, not a rogue agent, should be the first affiliated male character?
I don't play male characters in A-Force. I don't splash male characters, even though I just mentioned Mr. Sinister. But it goes against everything that's valuable.
He's kind of just asexual at this point, right? With all the clones
that's
and stuff.
True. Like, that's true. Who knows what his sex is at this point?
Brad, I'm going to say Loki, because Loki was, again, in the comics, a member of the A-Force.
Female,
because
but...
at that point, he was a she, and... all that kind of stuff. Loki's weird. Loki does his own thing.
Her own gender's thing. A construct.
So Loki would be my answer, because there's already a little bit of a precedent for it. And then our final question from our good friend Kenny: who is your special deliverer?
Kenny, we answered that already. Didn't you listen to the podcast?
Did we though? Because I didn't actually talk about mine.
Oh, did you not? What's your favorite?
My favorite's Crystal.
Yeah, it's Crystal.
It's a little bit less movement than what Angela offers, but also at two less threat. And while Angela does really well in making up for She-Hulk's lack of mobility on the more spread out maps, like a B or a D, like Angela, she's queen at that. Crystal is able to really just bring some pain in any of the scenarios where She-Hulk already shines in. So if you bring Crystal on Demons Downtown or Gamma, she can just be a nightmare for your opponents.
I used to champion Wasp before I moved to Crystal. She got that little extra movement. Like I usually special deliveries at the end, so sometimes I would get that damage, and being able to get that one place and then the long move gave me just that extra bit that I needed to get where I needed to go, especially off of sometimes I think it even gets her to the objective I need her to get to, which Crystal has the double move, but Crystal's better.
Yeah, well, Wasp is cute. If you get the extra power, it's good. Wasp has her own excellent tactic card with Pym Particles. As a whole, Wasp, in my opinion, is underrated. But for the specific job of having a person that consistently can drop off She-Hulk to the middle of the board, Crystal is my go-to.
Yeah, I stopped using Wasp mostly because extracts are important.
Extracts are important. That is also true. All right, and that is the last of our questions and the end of this podcast. Thank you all so much for listening and tuning in to another one of our just rants about affiliation characters that we enjoy playing ourselves. If you are interested in supporting us directly, if those other stores, like if you're already shopping your own LGS, keep doing that. We understand. But if you do want to continue to listen to this stuff and want to support that, we have a Patreon page, which will be in the description of the podcast, for as little as $1 a month, $12 a year, because that's how math works. It helps us continue to put out podcasts, maybe get some better equipment for some of the different members or different editing programs, stuff like that down the road. So if that's something you're interested in, great. If not, doesn't hurt our feelings, but we are so, so thankful to the members of the Guild Hall who are currently supporting us. Thank you all so very, very much. And that's also how you can submit questions if that's something you're interested in. Is just $1 a month, and we'll send out a little ping that says, hey, this is what we're talking about. If you have questions, hit us up, and that's where we get those from. So, but thank you all for listening, and until next time, keep on gaming.